This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a pain-free Friday for us, doling out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up, 100, 200, bad, we are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York City. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do better. All my friends come around, fudge and fly to party, old rants on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's dead, and my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it. Oh. Are you with us tonight from New York? All right, 855-212-4CBS. So I'm trying to figure out what Dame Lillard is doing other than acting right now. I got to see this to believe it. That's a flop. I mean, that's a flop. And then he goes down and acts like he's injured. Look, he points at Noel, and then he goes down and acts like he's got a torn core muscle, right? Like, what was that about? Are you watching this?
Yeah, because he's trying to avoid getting the foul called on him. He's trying to get it the other way on the screen.
That was a horrible acting job. He will not win the Oscar this year. It was a clear and present danger flop. I just wanted to say that the TVs have started going out again on a pain-free Friday in New York. It's raining here. It's only going to get worse. They're saying flooding here tonight. Torrential downpours and flooding. So I anticipate missing the entire game between Oak City, Portland, the rest of the Pacer Celtic game, and the Avs Flames game. It would appear to me that I'm screwed. Carver High is this is the only other game, right? These two, right? You got Portland, Oak City's the last thing with the Pacers Celtics because the other one's done. Toronto by five.
Yeah, those are the last two NBA games for the night.
And then you got the Avs and Flames.
Avs and Flames just getting started up in Calgary.
All right. So, first of all, I want to get into the Toronto win over the Magic. They won by five. Of course, the number was 4.5. They win by a hook. That really upset me to start my evening. Secondly, the Celtics are up by 3 with about 2:40 left in the third in the field house in Indianapolis. Good evening, Indy. Sweet Hoosier State. Come on. You know, I love you. IU, old IU. To the glory goes old IU. Anyway, get over your college infatuation. I've never been back once since I graduated in 87. I don't even know. I have a degree. I don't know how I got it. I was hammered. But I had a lot of fun, and I slept with a lot of women. Oh, wait a minute. Are we on the air? Check, check, 1, 2, check, 1, 2. Anyway, sorry. Corn dog. Portland's leading 22-21, and I noticed one other thing besides his bad acting. Dame Lillard never misses a jump shot. Have you ever noticed if he gets, like, a loose ball and picks it up from anywhere, he drains it? The guy never misses. And I have to say, he's wearing the Grinch high tops tonight. He's rocking the Grinch colors.
Really?
He's just full-on green. I mean, they are like the Grinch.
And they're wearing the red unis in OKC.
I mean, it is dramatic, the shoes he's got on. They are very loud, I mean to tell you. Mafia, do you find some of the shoes that I wear to play basketball loud, like the red Kyries I'm wearing right now or the pink ones I have? How about the coral ones I have?
Certain ones I do. I mean, some of these colors they come out with, these like highlighter schemes these guys wear, I just don't get it. I mean, for me, I'm basic colors, stick to that. I don't mind, you know, like green or red. No, I'm not boring, but like the ridiculous
so
rainbow
like
colors you come out
radical,
with?
Radical shoes they've come out with? You just
no, those
like
for girls.
For girls.
Rainbow colors are for girls.
Whoa.
You don't like the cheese. You don't like, you know, things like, you know, mushy foods. That's
no.
For me. Like crazy color shoes for girls.
Okay. Okay.
Mafia from downtown what? Here early in the show.
Where is this coming from? All right, Carver High, give me an update on your death threat count today. Any developments there? How's that going with the entire state of Wisconsin now trying to have you killed?
Well, I mean, I guess once again, our friend up there, you know, selective which parts of the show they listen to.
Oh, is that right?
What did we spend the entire show last night talking about this thing? Like from like the second hour on, we must have spent a whole hour talking about it. And remember Darwin was in here at the end?
Right.
And I gave, you know, we started getting on him like, you got to help Carver High and, you know, your Celtics, blah, blah, blah. And I guess I, you know, by then I was, you know, we were all tired of talking about it.
But he picked the Bucks.
Right, he picked the Bucks. But I guess at some point in there I was like, well, all someone has to do is say Kyrie and Gordon will beat you. And you're not, you know, you're not allowed to say that. And I said in a very, as the Wink Man said, a very innocent tone. So I backtracked on what I said the night before. A very backtracker is what I am.
So why did you backtrack?
I don't know. If you would have listened to, the, you know, the whole show, we had that whole hour, the second hour.
But I don't understand. Backtrack what?
I have no idea.
What does that mean?
Because apparently
you're still on the, them losing, aren't you?
Apparently, I was very vindictive with my tone on Wednesday night when I said that.
So the guy knows how
lose.
You how you act
well,
and how you feel,
to,
how you your whole emotion. He's got it all down pat.
Well, he listened to 20 seconds of the show
right.
on Wednesday night.
He's got it all figured
that,
out.
That some caller told him to listen to.
Oh, all right.
And then last night, I guess he listened this morning to 20 seconds of the right. show or 2 minutes when Darwin was in here last night. Didn't listen to that whole second hour where we. You know, basically talked about this thing, talked it out, and hey, it is what it is. I'm rooting for the Celtics. I really hope that the Bucks lose now. I did go back and listen to those guys yesterday morning.
How did that go?
When I left here last night, I was like, let me see what this actually sounded like.
Okay.
It was actually, I thought it was pretty funny at first. Like, the dude was, like, on the air, like, actually, like, reading out him typing the tweet to me, and he said he wanted to punch me in the face, and I thought all that stuff was hilarious. And then he got the zany radio morning bit guy, and he started doing the, I found a picture of this guy. Look at him. Oh, hitting the treadmill. Boy. He went with the cool morning show fat jokes our boy went with. So, yeah, he got real, you know, got in there with that stuff. So
he said you were fat?
Oh, hit the treadmill. He's got they got all into it. So
is that right?
Look at this duff. You know, he started getting with the. Let's go with the fat jokes on our zany morning show, you know, because
right.
this guy thinks the Bucks are going to lose. So let's go and
get him,
you know, go get him,
get
you
him.
Know. Wow, dude.
And you're fat?
yeah, I mean, it is what it is. So.
Well, naturally, if there's anything Milwaukee's known for, it's being in shape, buff, and always eating healthy, right?
Yeah. I didn't have time to actually look up the pictures of the staff.
He did a real great, you know, another guy who does just a great impersonation of Pharrell, too. You know, he had to get in there and give the Pharrell impersonation.
Is that right?
A little zany morning show Pharrell impersonation.
Oh, is that
too.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Do they want me dead, too?
I don't know. Who knows? But great. I'm rooting big time
glad
for the
Celtics.
Glad we
have such a great relationship going with the talent back in Wisconsin. Is that where it is?
He tweeted me this morning that he'd rather be zany than a backtracking hypocrite, he said to
is
me.
Is that right? Is that what you are?
That's what he claims I am, so.
Is that what you are?
I guess I wasn't loud enough when I said the 20 seconds he listened to last night.
All
I
right.
wasn't loud enough when I said, I guess all someone has to do is say Kyrie and Gordon will beat you. You're not allowed to say that. Should have said in a mean tone like I did Friday, Wednesday night.
So it would have been better if you would have been
mean. Yeah, you know, it is what it is.
So you were too nice, apparently?
I guess so. Apparently I backtracked it. You see, the problem is, like I said, these guys only got told to listen to 20 seconds of the show. They don't listen to us, which is fine. It is what it is. And do we always talk, when the Bucks come up, what do I always say about them?
That they're going to lose.
Until they show me, I don't believe in them. I say it about the Bucks, the Raptors, the Rockets, all of them. But they're
have
very
ever,
sensitive
have
up
you ever
there.
Been to Milwaukee in your life?
No, I have not.
I've been there many times.
But I will
I've
say.
I've always had a good time in Milwaukee. I've always loved going to Brewer games. I've been to everything there. Buck games. I've seen it all.
A lot more support today.
I've even been
a lot
to
of
Marquette
tweets.
Games.
A lot of tweets today saying, we love you guys.
No, they don't.
You're the man.
No, they
no,
don't.
No, no,
no.
I'm talking
no,
about.
No,
no, no. I'm talking about. Got. Fans in Milwaukee who listen to this show.
No, they're turning on us, too. They're all turning
on us.
There
are people in that city that like Pharrell on
the
bench.
The guy with the dirty mouth and the filthy foul.
Well, the Wink Man, he doesn't like us. The Wink Man, he doesn't like us. The Zany Morning guy, he doesn't like us. But there are fans in Milwaukee who love Pharrell on the bench.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. But the Wink Man, you know, he's upset. It's the first time in his life the Bucks have been good.
So he's defending
So he's
him.
Very defensive of the
he's
Bucks.
He's defending
and that's
his city and his home turf.
So go get it done.
There you go.
Don't flush the 60 wins down the toilet.
Do you, in all reality, in all seriousness, do you care at all?
Not at all.
At all?
I do kind of want the Celtics to really beat the Bucks.
Okay, but in the grand scheme of things, do you care at all about anything to do with the NBA or the Milwaukee Bucks?
No, I don't.
You're a hockey fan.
Oh, I got a lot going on in the NHL.
And he didn't like the fact that you had a beer belly.
Oh, they got right into it. You know, these two guys, him and his partner, too. The partner got in on me also. Oh, look at this Duff. You know, guy's got to hit the treadmill. Let's go with the fat jokes on the morning show. Let's do it, guys. Good stuff.
What'd they say about
But I thought the bit he was doing was funny
before
that.
Mafia and me, or, you know?
He didn't have much to say about Mafia, I guess, because Mafia didn't yell at him that the Bucks were going to lose. And he did the big impression of you.
Is that right?
Yeah, Pharrell, he started getting all into it, you know.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. All right. Very exciting how this whole, your relationship has soured with these people over the last day or two.
Not the people in Milwaukee. A lot did reach out today, and they love Pharrell on the bench. Just the Wink Man. You know, he's the one guy who.
I don't know who that is.
Well, I didn't know who he was before yesterday.
Well, I'm sure he's hugely successful and famous there.
He's very talented.
So I would never, far be it from me with my pathetic career, to take on the talent in other markets, the local markets. Far be it from me to go there with, you know, I've been over here doing like the national thing for 30 years. Sorry about my, you know, inadequacies and everything. I'm sorry I don't live up to the high standards they have there in Pharrell and Milwaukee. You think I'd cut it there on the radio? Maybe. Maybe we could go up against each other in morning drive and see how you do then with the big stick. Huh? Big hard ass. You play basketball there? Henry Winkler? You play hoops? Come on, Dad. I'll give you something to think about. Because I guarantee I'm not fat. But I got a big fat elbow for your face. Come on down and play. Come on down into the hood in New York City, you big B. Don't get me started, because, you know, I've always failed when it comes to going up against some of the local guys that don't like me. You know what I mean? So much stress. All I wanted to do was win a Brewer bet. All I wanted to do was bet on Yelich and the Brewers. And then you brought all this into my life. 855-212-4227. Chris Carino, Nets, next on the bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Chris Carino, the great voice of the Nets, is on the bench again. What a season you've had. I love this team. I think that, you know, all season long, I've enjoyed watching them turn into a winner and, you know, make the playoffs. I think Kenny and his staff all deserve what they got, extensions, and I think they're headed in a wonderful direction, this club. I have to tell you, though, I thought that the whole bit with Simmons and whoever did all that, like, I don't know who did all that, with the, you know, wanted posters in the streets and then the players talking about Embiid and Simmons and Dudley opening his mouth. I thought it made the Nets look silly.
Well, how are you, Scott? Nice to speak to you again.
Chris, it's great having you on. I'm being honest. I just thought they wasted too much time with that nonsense instead of playing basketball, and they got their ass beat because of it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, first of all, the thing with you know, with Embiid and Simmons, I they kind of brought that on. I actually think the Nets didn't respond to it as much as other teams might have. you know, the fact that Embiid was giggling about nearly taking Jared Allen's head off on a play that he very well could have been thrown out of the game. And then, you know, Simmons giggling, it was kind of silly on their part. It didn't make them look good. And I think the Nets kind of were restrained. There was just sort of an innocuous quote from Caris LeVert about that. And, you know, the Dudley thing, I understand. I'm not going to say, you know, things are taken out of context, but if you listen to the about 2 minute response that Jared Dudley gave on Ben Simmons, instead of just the 20 seconds that people ran with, it wasn't all that disparaging about Ben Simmons. It was just about, hey, you can't let him get momentum going to the basket. You know, if he doesn't have space and doesn't have momentum going to the basket, you know, he can defend him because then shoot, he's kind of an average player in the half court. I do think it could have been worse. I don't think they really like to get wrapped up in it. I look at the reverse of it. You just praised Kenny Atkinson and this team. You know, I've been around Nets teams for over 20 years, and it is as good a group of people as I've ever been around. And I think that comes through in their maturity for such a young age. I think if roles had been reversed and the Nets were in some of the situations that Embiid and Simmons were in, I think they would have handled themselves much differently. I think it's a good group of guys. And this is a learning experience. You know, the whole fact that they're in the playoffs and that people wanted them to be in the playoffs and the organization was excited about getting in and they weren't looking to tank and get a high draft pick is because they wanted this young core to go through this, to go through these situations that you find yourself in the playoffs.
Right.
And I think it's all a learning experience from Kenny on down to the players.
Do you think Chris Carino with us, voice of the Nets, do you think that the So, first of all, I think they poked a bear in Simmons. So, whatever happened, sure. That guy came out and dropped a 31 on their face and had a good time doing it. And that's kind of what I meant from the whole thing.
The posters that were put outside Barclays Center about a reward missing Ben Simmons' jump shot, that might have had a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that whole thing just was a nightmare. Now they're doing it in hockey. They're like putting stuff up for Kadri that he's this and that. Now everybody's running. Here's my problem with the Nets the other night. You know, I'm listening to the game. I'm watching the game, blah, blah, blah. And the thing that got me that really irritated me, because you know I play a lot of ball, was that I thought they turned the ball over way too much, and I thought that they did not rebound. I mean, I literally thought they got killed on the boards, in my view, and then the turnovers. At one point, they had 9 of them in the first half, and I'm thinking, that's like an available 18 or more points available, right? And then they, and, you know, you're going to get about 9 of those, I would think, at least of those trips.
And not only that, Scott, you know, if you're gonna turn the ball over, you know, throw it into the fifth row. The problem they were doing, there was a lot of live ball turnovers. So and when the Sixers get out in transition, especially Ben Simmons, he's going to kill you. And then when you don't rebound, same thing. And rebounding has been an issue for this team all year. They're not a big team. You know, it's glaring at the size of the Sixers at pretty much every position, even with Embiid out of the lineup. I mean, from Tobias Harris to Ben Simmons to Jimmy Butler, they're just bigger and stronger. And they know the Nets didn't rebound well enough. It didn't help also that Ed Davis, who's absolutely their best rebounder by far, he sprained his ankle in game 2 and then sprained the other ankle in game 3 and didn't play in the second half. So that was an issue. They've got to find a way to just match the physicality of the Sixers, and because I think that causes a lot of those turnovers and the second chance points of the Sixers. You know, they killed them on the offensive glass, and you know, that's you're giving them all those extra opportunities, and it really did kill them last night.
Yeah, no doubt. Chris Carino. So Davis has got to be a mess with double ankle problems. Yeah. What are they going to do tomorrow, 3 Eastern, at the Barclays? It'll be rocking. How do they manipulate that problem?
You know, what they ended up having to do was go to Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at the 5. I mean, they really don't have a third string center. They've always gone maybe small ball throughout the course of the year. Dudley slides over to the 5. And they've had some success with that against the Sixers this year. Rondae even came in and gave him a spark because he's able to get to the free throw line. If they're going to put a Boban out there or a Greg Monroe, Ronnie's going to be able to drive on him and get to the rim. But you're going to give up the interior defensively. Again, you mentioned rebounding a problem. That's not going to solve that. I think this team's got to put a few more ball handlers on the floor. I think you're going to see a little bit more of Caris LeVert tomorrow. I think you're going to see maybe Dinwiddie, LeVert, and Russell on the floor at the same time. They put those three on the floor late in the game yesterday, but they haven't really played a lot together because the numbers show that they don't play well together. But I do think the way you got to attack the Sixers is you got to put ball handlers on the floor and use your speed. That's what they, when they've had success against the Sixers this year, that's what they've done. And hopefully that'll open up the floor for some three-point shooting. Remember, this is a net team that really relies on the three-point shot. And when you're the underdog in a series and you're losing out, you know, at size at every position, you got to make some threes. And I thought the Nets had a lot of good looks from three last night that normally go down that don't. So, you know, if Joe Harris can get going, Damari Carroll can get going, knock down some of those threes, that'll equalize it a little bit. The other thing I think that the kind of the elephant in the room was last night, if there was this game in the series where I thought Joel Embiid was most likely to play, it was game three. Games one and two, we were thinking, is Embiid going to play? We don't know. And then, you know, they had 2 days off before game three, and you're thinking, he's going to play. And then I see him limping into the arena about an hour before the game, and I'm going, I don't know if this guy's going to play tonight. And he doesn't play. And I think the Nets were geared up to go against Embiid, and then Embiid's not there. I think it throws you a little bit. And then I think when the Sixers knew probably all day that Embiid wasn't going to play, and I don't know, the floor opens up for everybody when Embiid's not in there. I think they relished a chance to play without him. Tobias Harris was better. Ben Simmons was better. I'm not saying long-term, because I've seen what Embiid can do to the Nets. He'd just be physically dominant. But for the short term, I actually think it helped the Sixers last night.
I got to tell you, I think they have to force Harris and Redick into some bad shots, because they got too many clean looks from outside. Both of them were just nailing threes. And, I mean, I think they hit 11 threes between them or something like that. And I know is they got to stop that.
They hadn't really done that in the series so far. Game one, those guys had a very poor shooting game. So that's the reason why the Nets won game one. Another big thing with the Nets do is they like to play zone defense, especially after made shots. And when you're missing threes, number one, that leads to transition buckets the other way because they're long rebounds and you get Simmons on the run and you get him ahead of steam and Harris and Butler are all running out. And then you can't set up your zone. And I know you think guys like Redick and Harris are going to love seeing a zone, but they don't. They kind of throws their rhythm off, especially when the Nets are switching back and forth. So they never really could get in the rhythm defensively that they wanted. And, Redick is hard to stop. I mean, listen, he's going to make shots. And, you're going to have to, Brett Brown had a great line before game one at his press conference, and it applies to the Nets too. Sometimes you have to decide, what sword am I going to fall on? You're going to give something up. What is it? Redick could have a big game, but you can't let Tobias Harris just power his way to the rim and shoot threes the way he did. Ben Simmons may be able to get out in the open floor, but then you maybe got to close in more on Redick and Harris and take that option away, because Simmons is going to shoot the ball, right? He's going to distribute for other guys. So I think it's like you said, they got to do a better job denying those other guys the ball and, pick your poison.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be great. I hope they get back into it tomorrow and win that game. Have fun out at the Barclays tomorrow afternoon, Chris. Great stuff tonight. Thanks for coming on the bench and taking the time during the playoffs to do it.
Anytime, Scott. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, Chris Carino, the great voice of the Brooklyn Nets.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, I wanted to tell you real quick, the playoffs are rolling, hockey, hoops, PharrellOnTheBench.com, great picks, great price, great return. We got everything, every pick, every play, every day, everything that's on the board. Sign up today, you'll love it. Hide the money from your wife. Also, tomorrow, episode 204 of Pharrell on the Bets on WestwoodOnePodcast.com, iTunes, Google Play. Subscribe and follow us on Twitter at OnTheBets. WWO. Our favorite hockey announcer, Joe Beninati, is back on the bench in the biggest way possible on a pain-free Friday to talk about the Stanley Cup champs. And they found themselves losing 2-1 in Raleigh the other night. Tara Vinen with the winner late in the second. Are you surprised, Joe? Always great to have you on, Joe. Were you surprised that there was nothing in the third from really either team? A lot of chances, but that nothing went in. Were you surprised it stayed tight after the second?
No, I wasn't really, Scotty. I'll have to admit, though, I got home last night. We're driving back in from the airport. And I kept hearing you worry about rain in New York and the satellite dish.
Oh, yeah.
Not being able to see games today.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm hoping you got your TV fixed.
Well, it's going to start pouring here any minute in New York tonight for, like, the next 15 hours. And the minute it starts the deluge, we're going to have no TV at all. So I got no Avs. I got no NBA. All I got to do is look at, according to some people, I got to look at Carver High and Mafia. And I've been told that they're fat and ugly.
There you go. Just get the information from them. That's how carefully I listened, though, last night. I wasn't surprised that things didn't shake loose in the third period, although I thought Washington got better as the game went along. I mean, everybody knows they were dreadful in Game 3. In Game 4, to get scored upon 17 seconds in was a swift uppercut to the face. But I thought they balanced themselves out really well after that. It was a pretty much level game. It was anybody's for the taking. I thought Peter Mrazek played really well down the stretch, made the big save on Kuznetsov with about 3 minutes to go, and give Justin Falk some credit, too, on that very same play. He was basically playing street hockey goalie with Mrazek, and he kicked out a chance that Backstrom had on that very same rebound. A real good series, and Carolina, you could make the argument, has been the better team throughout the total of the four games, but like the old adage is, you're never really in trouble until you lose at home, so the Caps try to hold serve tomorrow night.
I think they will. So what is your thoughts on – I just can't see them not winning this series and not beating this team. I know they've been tough. I know they've been solid all year. I know they're always in games, and they got – you know, the fans are all excited about them. They do all their post-game dancing around and everything. But the Capitals are a better hockey team through and through on both ends of the ice. I have to ask you your thoughts on the whole – Oshie situation with this guy that took him out and what happened to him. It looked to me like a collarbone or something. He looked like he couldn't move his arm and shoulder, et cetera. What did you think of that whole disaster?
First of all, I mean, TJ was in bad shape last night. I saw him getting off the plane. It didn't look good. I know that Todd Reirden expects to have the full doctor's report Saturday, so I think we're going to find out a little bit more about the extent of Oshie's injuries. You know, I felt badly about it because of the timing of it. And, you know, I don't think initially the officials were going to make a call. I think they had to huddle. I know the linesman got involved as well. And I can understand, Scotty, why refs with 5 minutes to go don't want to necessarily throw a major out there at that time. You know, give the Caps an all-you-can-eat power play late in the game and maybe influence the outright decision. So they took the safe way out. But I'm surprised that the league didn't take it a little step further, only because I know Fogel's going for the lift check. There's nothing wrong with that. But he gave you that short little shove to the small of the back with the cross check towards the boards. And that's the play that the players themselves hate. That's the one that they really think is ugly. And the league said, Warren, you're good to go. And he's been tremendous. Fogel's been dominating in the first four games. A player that Rod Brind'Amour liked coming out of camp, but who's really clicked in the last few weeks, and especially so against the Caps. But I just wish they would have gotten it right one way or the other. It's either a major or possible suspension. To not do either, I know the Caps feeling from that side, losing Oshie to a great extent, you know, they don't feel like they've received justice there at all.
Are there sentiments in D.C. at all that you're hearing? Like maybe today, I don't know if there's any of this, like, you know, send Wilson out there to handle it stuff.
No, and that's not what Tom's going to do. That's just not what he's going to do. He's too important to the squad. He's been playing first-line minutes, and I think he's taken a step back from that enforcer-type role. He's still the big brother. He's still going to be there if you cross the line. I'm sure that Fogel will see Wilson from a physical standpoint, from hopefully a clean shoulder check in open ice or along the boards. Sure, Tom will try to take a little pound of flesh back, but there I don't think there's going to be any sort of vigilante justice there. I wouldn't expect it, and not from Tom. He's too important to this team right now.
I just wanted to say, Carver High and Joe Beninati, for the sake of beer drinkers everywhere, in the regular season in November, I would call for him to retaliate full-on as the team captain. But in April, we have bigger fish to fry. I have to ask you this, Joe. Do you think that Braden is playing as well this season as he was when he won the Stanley Cup and was so fantastic last year?
Okay, so at the end of the playoffs last year, I mean, he was darn right invincible. He was good to very good during the regular season, Scott. He was especially strong down the stretch leading into this playoff run. I don't think he's been to blame in these first four games. I'm not saying that he hasn't gone to the level that I can expect or that Caps fans or that his teammates would expect. You know, you've hit upon something here because it's something that I've been discussing throughout the day. I would not be surprised if in either a Game 5 or 6 scenario where Holtby has one of those, oh, wow, 40-save-type performances, slam the door shut, he's due for one of those. He definitely is, and he knows he has that ability to fall back upon. I thought at the end of the regular season he was playing the best hockey for himself since the Stanley Cup Final, so let's see if he can regain that.
I got to ask you, Joe, did you see the soccer guy? Is he the guy from the Blazers? Did you see him interview Ovechkin? Honestly, it was really funny.
I've heard about it. I didn't see it. The one quote I think I saw was that Ovechkin doesn't get hangovers.
Yeah, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I can't even mention on the air here some of the other stuff that was said on that interview, but it is really funny. You got to watch it if you got a couple minutes. I think Ovechkin's incredible. Who would you say, you know, in terms of you're calling the games and you're watching the games, you've all year long, right now in the postseason, who have you been disappointed by in their, like, not, performing at a high level like you're used to?
Well, I mean, it's hard to kick a dog that's already out of the tournament, but, you know, I was surprised by what happened to Tampa Bay. It's so unfortunate, a brilliant, absolutely an historic run for them with the 62 wins and all of those points and to have it go up in smoke. But that sounds like I'm disparaging Columbus. The Caps, I could tell you, I don't, at least from my vantage point, wouldn't want anything to do with Columbus in that first-round matchup. Columbus had been playing so well down the stretch. They got things figured out, and they just were a buzzsaw. After they fell behind that first period and rallied, Tampa never got a chance to play its game. It didn't look right. Something was wrong there, and they had no chance to recover because Columbus has been so effective. Pittsburgh, I had a bad feeling about Pittsburgh down the stretch. And
oh, God.
Barry's done a beautiful job in New York. So did I expect either of those series to be sweeps? Absolutely not. But Columbus does surprise me in being victorious. The Islanders, I thought, were going to take out the Pens.
Listen, Joe, don't start talking dirty to me here.
I know, Steel City.
Listen, I'm so disappointed in my Penguins that I've not only I'm done being a fan. Secondly, that Carver High now, I've lost a bet to him, and I have to root for the New York Islanders for the remainder of the Stanley Cup playoffs because they kicked my Penguins' ass. The bet was if they swept them, I would have to root for them the rest of the way and also make love to my wife in a bossy jersey, which I'll be doing this weekend. I'm gonna finish that up. Listen, Joe, have a great game tomorrow. I know the Capitals will come through for me because I bet a lot of money on them.
Scotty, that brings all too meaning to game-worn jerseys.
I'm telling you, but at least I have a bossy jersey, which is a sin in my house to only have a Lemieux or a Jager. I can't have any, you know, outsiders in there, but I do have a bossy. I respect him. Joe, I love you. Good luck tomorrow. I hope they play well.
Pleasure, Scotty. Thanks for the time.
I love Joe Beninati, the great voice of the Capitals. You like him tomorrow, Mafia? You going to bet on him? I know you had a betting problem tonight. I want to tell people really quick how bad of a betting problem Mafia has. We're driving in New Jersey, getting ready to come into New York City, into the tunnel. And he goes, hurry up. I've only got 45 seconds to get these bets in. And he's like doing it on his phone. I'm like, he's like, slow down because I'm going to go in the tunnel. Once you go in the tunnel, the bet doesn't work.
Got to get it in when I can.
There you go. I think he's betting on the Capitals. That's what that means in Portuguese.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.